Welcome into the Green Zone post-game show. It is preseason, after all. 15-9, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. No touchdowns today. Nothing but field goals. You okay over there, Darryl?
I'm just kind of yawning and sleepy. It wasn't very exciting, was it?
What do you mean? They had a drive to win at the end of the game.
Yeah, they could have given it to Brian Garrity. Maybe he's a better ball carrier than he is a kicker.
Oh, the young man had one nasty missed field goal from 48 yards.
That might have been entertaining. That gave me a little bit of laugh, that Jamie.
It gave you something, at least, from what wasn't a very well-executed game from the perspective of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and a bit to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but their quarterback efficiency was a lot better than the 3-for-8 from Trevor Harris and the 3-for-6 from Jack Cohn and the 8-of-13 with an interception from Jake Mayer. They were a lot more efficient moving the football throughout the day. Total offense today for the Riders and the Bombers, it was actually pretty even, shockingly. 310 to 297, but it just felt like the Bombers were a cleaner football team offensively than the Rough Riders today.
They were. They both played their starting quarterbacks with their starting offensive linemen and their starting receivers for the first quarter anyway, so you're right. They looked a little sharper all the way through, and we've been talking about thinking Saskatchewan has the better quarterback room, but didn't really impress today. Jamie, I don't know. Jake Mayer starting to have doubts a little bit. You know, I guess he was playing with the backups, right? So he's the backup quarterback, and he wasn't playing with the starters. Right? Yeah, that's true.
Come on, Darryl. Preseason for everyone.
I know. Okay. Preseason for us, too. But
I got these guys picked to go all the way there. So
yeah, the Belton Johnson curse. Him and Drake.
The curse?
Might be.
No.
Don't guarantee anything.
They're better than whatever that was today, right?
Absolutely, they're better than that. It was preseason. Although you just want it to be a little bit better than that.
There were some bright spots out
there. Like Zach Calero's 10 of 13, 93 yards passing, moved the ball down the field. When you saw Trevor Harris go 3-for-8 for 38 yards, you're like, okay. Yeah. He needs to break some more rust off next week in that preseason finale against the Bombers before the real bullets are flying in week one at home in the opening of the season on that Thursday.
Are you playing them next week?
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah, now especially, right? They need some fine tuning. So, yes.
They do.
Yeah. You can't go without playing him at least a quarter again next week.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders will lose 15-9 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. All field goals all the time today in this one. No touchdowns for either team. So the defense kept the Bombers out of the end zone.
That's a good thing, right?
That's a good thing.
The defense
absolutely.
Supposed to be ahead of the offense all the time?
Well, they definitely were today.
The defense is always ahead of the offense in preseason, right?
Oh, yeah.
1-877-332-8255. The fan line is open here on the Green Zone postgame show. If you want to assess the work of the Riders of this preseason football game, give us a ring. And we can also talk more about what's to come in this season after a lengthy offseason, as it's the first time the Green Zone panel gets to talk to you this football season. Give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I know we're going to get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs a little bit. Let's start with a bright spot. Pick one bright spot, Belton Johnson, right now. From what you saw today, I only need one. We'll get to the rest later on Beasts and Beefs.
Bertrand
Hudon.
He looked like somebody that wanted to make a team to me, right? It looked like he was a little bit faster than everybody else around him for some reason to me.
Oh.
And then even on the special team, the kickoff return, I think McCray was running up the side and he had a great block on the side over there, right? Mm-hmm. He looked like a guy that wants to be on this team. He looked like he can be the backup running back to let to me.
Right Darryl now. Davis, what's your bright spot for the Riders today?
Safety Jackson Ford, right? Ooh, Second year, right? Didn't play much last year. He was injured.
This would be third year. Time flies, I guess.
It does. All of a sudden, it zooms by, right? Switched to his grandfather's number 21 and ended up starting because Nelson Lacombo wasn't playing. I don't know if there's a challenge there. I think they're happy with Lacombo. I know a lot of fans aren't, but I think that Jackson Ford showed some good hits, some good coverage. Guys going across the middle are going to be watching for him because he smacked a couple guys going across. And I think Jackson Ford looked really good playing safety today.
Yeah, Jackson Ford, I had him written down as my bright spot, so I'll shift it to the return game a little bit of Dre McCray. There was a burst there from Dre McCray for the Rough Riders.
Bobbled one after that.
Yes,
though, right?
there was one bobble in there with the bounding ball, and you're trying to play shortstop, and you booted it a little bit. But we have talked about it last season. Do they need to replace Mario Alford? Do they need a bigger burst? What does Mario Alford look like? He wasn't playing today, so it's not like we really truthfully know or how they feel, but they needed to see something. And when they signed him, it was on the release. They signed dynamic kick returner, Dre McCray. Yep. So clearly, that is a position they're looking at. I think with Dre McCray, 51-yard kick return at one point, 16-yard punt return. He showed he does have a burst. Mm-hmm. One play, he could have gone further, except he stepped out of bounds. No, wasn't even pushed out of bounds. He just ran out of bounds on that one. Could have been a bigger play. So there's some of our stars of the day. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Here on the Green Zone postgame show on this Saturday afternoon. Caden, what are your thoughts on preseason game number one?
I got to say, I liked our special teams. McCray looked really good. I mean, I think we have a dynamic duo back there if Mario remains with the squad. Then I'm not going to lie, offensively, we looked flat. I mean, it's to be expected. It's preseason. You can't expect much. I will say, though, you can tell that Cone's in his second year compared to Mayer being in his first year with this offense. Personally, I think Cone played a way better game today than Mayer did. That might just be me talking crazy, but our defense looked phenomenal. I think our defense was the bright spot as a whole. I gotta say, I agree with Daryl there. Ford looked phenomenal. You just saw him; he was there every single play in that first quarter, and there's just I'm going to be shocked if we don't have a top three defense in the league this year. I think this year is going to be a very good year unless that Drake curse creeps in. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with that, but I'm looking forward to another season of CFL football and calling in.
Right on, Caden. We're looking forward to another season of you calling in because you've been calling in since you were, 9 years old?
Yeah, probably about there.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I was trying to think. It was 13 years. He's in his 20s now. Yeah, it's been about that long when Caden's first started calling the Green Zone postgame show. Keep the calls coming.
He sounded like he got some bass to that voice to me a little bit.
Yes, he does.
A little deeper.
Goodness. But I'll tell you what. Let's go through some of his points. Jack Cone versus Jake Mayer. Did you see it? That Jack Cone was maybe a little bit more comfortable in this offense than Jake Mayer? Because I think Jake Mayer actually is the game. Early on, he was, 2 for 6 or something like that. And then the rest of the way, he was 6 of 7. Yeah. Once he settled in, I thought I saw a lot better Jake Mayer. And then the interception on the stat page is going to show interception. Maybe miscommunication between him and the receiver fell down when he broke on his route. He did stumble and hit the ground right as Jake was throwing that ball. So, not sure you're going to put, 50-50 blame on receiver quarterback on that interception. But what did you think of Cone versus Mayer out of the gate?
Well, Cone was okay. Mayer was, you're right, a little rusty. But it doesn't make sense to me that Jake Mayer wouldn't understand Mark Mueller's offensive philosophy and some of the plans, right? He's worked with them in the past. I know that their offense changed last year in Calgary. But so the fact that Jake Mayer was sloppier than we thought he should have been, I think that's a concerning point, and I know preseason, it's early. He's working with different guys. He was working with backups, but we expected a little bit smoother offense being run by those backup quarterbacks, and it didn't turn out that way.
And James, what were the numbers there? The completion
for the two?
Yeah,
Jack Cone was 3 of 6, 58. Jake Mayer was 8 of 13 for 80 and a pick. So overall, Jake Mayer had a better completion percentage than Jack did.
And the only one,
but the Jack had two throwaways in that too.
He did.
He threw the ball away twice.
Mm, was smart plays, all right?
Yeah, and they were good smart. Yep.
It was the one where they called the draw or something, right? I'm like let the man get out there and sling it around a little bit, right?
Third and or second and 11, yeah. QB draw, shotgun draw. Everybody's favorite play in Saskatchewan. Second and 11, and, shotgun draw. You know, in a preseason game, I'm like, let the kids sling it. Right, what are we doing here?
Well, how about at the end of the first half, too, right? They can throw the football, but they run it twice just to get to halftime, right? So those are chances where you think, you know what, I'd have given Jake Mayer a little bit of better opportunity to throw the football in. He was in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jake
Mayer was.
Yeah, so... It's different things are being called in the preseason, but give them an opportunity to show their stuff.
He also, Caden brought up the special teams as well. Dre McCray talked a little bit about that already, showed flashes. We'll see him again next week.
Yeah. They need somebody. We talked so often on the show last year about Mario Alford just running out of bounds. Yeah. It's like he didn't have any desire to get upfield. He thought, well, I'll get my six or seven and move out of bounds here. I don't want that in my returner. I want a guy who's going to fight for every single yard and not fumble the football, but fight for every yard. McCray with that bobble made me concerned, but I also saw a real, like you guys said, a real burst and an effort to go straight north-south, and that's what you want from a returner. Other than a gizmo who's going to outrun guys going wide, you know, some returners do that, but Alford didn't do that last year. Alford just kind of thought and sauntered out of bounds. So I'm amazed that they brought him back, to be honest. I thought that they would just throw that competition wide open, and the fact they didn't even play him today, I don't know what that means one way or the other. It means that they're protecting him, that they just don't want to get him hurt, and they want to see who the backup is. But I don't think I would go with him.
Well, they're going to have to probably play him next week to really evaluate him, right? And McCray, he did great. I'm sorry. I know he had that bobble and everything, but he looked amazing. Yeah. And I don't know. Alfred, I was ready to toss him last year myself, right? And does he still have it?
Yep.
Has he looked good in camp?
Yeah, don't get to see
much. You can't really evaluate kick returners in camp, and he's not. But the other thing that McCray is he is a receiver, too. That's one thing Mario Alford's listed as a receiver.
They never played him.
But
well, not even
they don't trust him out there as a receiver. No. So if you got a guy who's returning kicks and you don't really trust being the seventh or eighth receiver, and you have a guy who can return kicks and you can trust to be that guy, I think that might make the decision for you.
That's an advantage. Yeah, Alford was always the emergency guy but never got in last year. And they were running out of receivers a couple of times.
What do you think? Top three defense in the league? That's what Caden said?
Top three? They look kind of tired to me a little bit early on. I saw a lot of guys putting their hands on the hips out there, right?
Yeah, so, but they weren't rotating as much as they usually do, right? Especially along the defensive line. Michael Johnson isn't playing. Shane Ray isn't playing.
Yeah.
Right? So those are two of the veterans who go into the rotation.
And I thought I saw too many big runs, too, right? Who's the kid for the Bombers?
Cooley.
There? Cooley.
Yeah.
He looked like he could be something, right? And he was getting chunks of yards out there. Mm-hmm, even the quarterback, he got a couple runs in and completions.
And Caden also brought up the Drake curse. We'll get into that a little bit later on here on the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie, Daryl, and Belton with you as we go to Dallas. How are you, Dallas, on this lovely Saturday?
Good, gentlemen. It's good to hear you guys' voice. And for another beginning of a preseason for CFL, always fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, especially when the website works.
Well, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Let's start with the game first here. Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw this coming where, like, even for Corey Mace, there was, I like watching his interviews there, like, on the Ryderville website. And there was a couple of times, I think, where they were doing practice, and he had said, well, you know, there was some issues with discipline, I think, talking about discipline. And I do believe he mentioned a little bit of energy. Like, he didn't see that drive for these players to go ahead and do what they need to do. Like, they're clearly fighting for positions and their jobs. And I didn't see, well, going back to the fact that I missed pretty well, I had to listen to it. Nothing wrong with listening to the game on the radio. But, yeah, for the first quarter and maybe 3 minutes until halftime, I think, is when finally the CFL page worked. But, again, I didn't see that energy. Like, these players, there were some good plays, don't get me wrong, and I know it's preseason, but I didn't see that energy that I figured you – like, I think we even saw more energy last preseason. We're still sticking with, again, not going to give too – too much hassle to Brett Lawther. Again, his preseason curse, like he only missed one this game, hit field goal. But again, there hasn't been a preseason in the last however long where the guy hasn't missed one kick. Castillo was seemed to be pretty good. I understand there's rust, but that's always why I just Lawther's got to kick this preseason and beginning of the regular season. Whoa. And then, you know, he does stellar. So whatever, there's that. But yeah, going back to my major real, like, just really irked me is the fact that, okay, they advertise CFL Plus. You can view the preseason games for free and the website didn't work. You couldn't view stats. You couldn't even do the game tracker. Nothing worked. How long have you guys complained about this? How long have I complained about this? How many times you guys received calls where the CFL website, like, what was it last year? Even now you can't get the tracker. The game's over and they still haven't updated maybe third quarter stat. Like who's working for their Mickey Mouse? Like it's just terrible. Like seriously, they gotta, you know, they it's just ridiculous. They got to fix that. But I mean, again, being pragmatic, they probably won't, and this will be a recurring theme. But other than that, preseason game, not very entertaining, but they got to put out more energy next game, especially because I attended the season ticket holder event that was at the Mosaic Stadium there.
How'd that go today?
Oh, guys, they weren't expecting how many people showed up. They probably thought maybe a couple of hundred. And that, like, that line was packed all around the Brand Center, and people wow. were there showing their support. So if the Rider organization, again, is going to put out this kind of crud, again, I understand preseason, they really are going to slap in the face all those people that waited an hour and plus in line. You know, like, they had to extend the event because it was supposed to end at 12. There was a lot of people, so I hope the Rider organization puts their boots where they should be here and strap up and shape up for next preseason.
Well, Dallas, it's interesting you say that. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you gave me that feedback because I was wondering how many people were going to show up today. My family was going to go, but with kids' activities and stuff, it just didn't fall in. Should have sent them after football. They would have been able to make it, apparently, but they did this. The fans, you, Dallas, and others have said, we want more fan engagement. We want more season ticket holder stuff. And this was a season ticket holder event. And I'm glad you showed up because you asked for it. They gave it to you and you showed up. And that's key to show the organization that, hey, when you do things, we will show up. Because what else happened? Shane Clausing said they were shocked by how many people came to the Q&A ahead of the green and white game. It was standing room only in that room. And these are all good things that the organization is seeing, that there is that much fan engagement, but they've left them starving for fan engagement for the last couple of years, and they're just getting it back now. And I think this is an indication of how much the fans have wanted it. Because when you give them something, they're going to show up for it.
Yeah, and people like this franchise again, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They've bought into what Corey Mace is selling to the team, too, right? It's not a sales pitch. This is who he is, and the fans love that. Corey Mace lives here year-round. Yeah. You see him in the winter. You know, the last two coaches before him didn't have to do that. Those are the type of things that show he's committed to the team, and that makes the fans. I know it doesn't matter winning and losing. It might not make any difference, but it strengthens that bond with the fans. And the fact that they've added more fan engagement activities, they're going to get more, especially if this team is even moderately successful. There are going to be people back totally on this bandwagon because they like the people involved with the franchise.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm just going to say, Jamie, when I heard from one of my old teammates, it was, I think, Andrew Green or one of the guys, and you know, Coach Mace, like you said, Darryl lives here and everything. And I had heard a story over the offseason here where I think he was, you know, riding around or something and saw a Rider flag over a banner and, hey, just kind of went to the house, knocked on the door, introduced himself. And all the Rider fans, you know, come out, hey, how's it going, Coach? And he's just like, I love that you got that flag up back there on that you know, the back porch or patio area, right? And so when you say buy in, like the fans, they bought in. Now it's time for the Riders to give them something. A great cup, Jamie?
You're guaranteeing a great cup.
Great cup.
You guaranteed it on the pregame show.
This is a wash for me today, okay?
Well, hold on. You're taking back the guarantee?
No. I'm saying just the way they handle things look today. That is a wash for me. We're gonna see what happens June 5th. I'm holding back
your guarantee.
No, I'm not holding it.
Okay.
I'm not holding it back. Today was just
wasn't too impressive.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not putting too much stock into what we saw today.
Not today.
You're the former pro who's been in preseason games probably like this one. What happens? You go in the room and like, oh, well, that was a dog.
Well, you know, it depends on the coaches sometimes, right? And, you know, all right, Belton, you'll play the first quarter, third quarter. Belton, you'll play the second quarter or whatever, right? And it's like, all right, I just want to make sure I get out of here not hurt. And once my time is up, it's up.
Yep. 1-877-332-8255. We'll go to Dwayne next. Dwayne, what are you thinking of the Riders after a preseason loss to the Bombers 15-9?
You know, this game was a real bummer, not just for the Riders, but for Winnipeg as well. The final score looks to me like most halftime scores. And the real bummer for me was here we are. We're down to where we can win or maybe have a better chance of winning. And what do we call? Instead of trying on a third down to put that ball in the end zone, we kick a meaningless field goal. And that was the end of the game. And it's just amazing to me that we're not better prepared to win this year. People are talking Grey Cup. Well, we've got a long season ahead of us, not just to get to the Grey Cup.
Yeah, we were surprised at that field goal attempt too, right?
Oh yeah.
Preseason, you're right down there. I think that's the closest anybody got all day to the end zone. So why wouldn't you kick a field? Why wouldn't you go for the touchdown there and give it a shot? I guess he wants to see the kicker, but I think the kicker already showed that. Okay, they got Brett Lauder.
Nailed that one.
Yeah, I know. I could nail that one in the media challenge.
Oh,
I think too.
Okay, I dare you.
Without pulling a groin, but go for the win. In preseason, you're on the road. You're down there within striking distance. Go for it, right? Why
nothing
not?
What was it?
It was 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 8 at the 10-yard line.
Yeah. Well,
go for it.
Go punch it in.
Yeah.
And if you turn it over, you got them pinned to the 10-yard line.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. He can say, I want to see the kicker, but
no,
you don't need somebody to replace
after he
Brett
kicked
Lauder.
That 48-yard field
you've
goal.
Seen, that's exactly
worms
the point.
Worms
right?
were ducking for
that's
that
That's exactly
kick.
The point. It wasn't a meaningless field goal, as our caller, right. as Darwin said. It still meant something because it kept them within 3, right? So you're close enough, but it didn't mean anything in terms of winning and losing. Just go for the win.
1-877-332-8255. Dwayne, thanks for the call. David, you're up next. What are you thinking with this preseason loss to the Bombers?
Yeah, I wasn't real impressed today, but it is preseason. So I just hope that, like, I was impressed with McRae's return ability, and I hope a guy like that, if, you know, he is showing, I hope they just aren't automatically handing the job to Elfert, you know. To me, we need some young blood, and if he looks like a guy that's going to be able to do it for the next few years, I would hope we would maybe move on from Elfert. But the same with Ford, he had a good game, and I don't know what Lacombe didn't even play today, so I don't know what that tells you if they're just Lacombe's got the job wrapped up no matter how Ford plays or what. I'm not sure, but on the coaching or the. I thought it was kind of a nonchalant game. Like the last caller said, we're down at the 10-yard line. We got a chance to take the lead late in the game, and we kick a field goal. Like, and that still only brings it. So what was that solution? Get another field goal and tie it up later?
But here's the thing, David. You talked about it, right? It's preseason. Why not go for it? Why not put a kid in a situation that it might be the last play of the game and it's 3rd and 10 at the 8 or the 3rd and 8 from the 10-yard line and you got to make a play? Why don't you let him do it? Let him go. It's preseason. Who the heck cares if you don't get it? What are you going to lose? Okay. Oh, shucks. Well, you kicked a field goal. Probably going to lose anyways. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. I didn't think I'd get this worked up over a preseason game all of a sudden, guys. I'll be quite honest. Jordan, you're up next. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dallas mentioned about the fan engagement at the stadium.
Yeah.
And we felt like I went with, like, the season t- ticket holder buddy, and they were not prepared for how many people that were showing up. And like the big thing was like we got there at 9:45. We didn't leave till 12:45, and you guys see the locker room, and Micah Johnson and Bain Jr. were there doing autographs, and they're like, "We're done." I get that they have their time, but like,
well, it was supposed to be over before the game started, right?
Yeah, like it was supposed to be over, but like, then get home, try like watching the game. Can't even watch the game, so listen to pretty much most of it on the radio. So we're like, it was kind of like annoying. Like, you spent 2 hours pretty much in line, and you like see the locker room. And like, we thought it was going to be a bit more experience, and then like, it would have been cool if like, even if they had it on the Maxtron, people are saying it was like, just watch the game there. Like,
well, they didn't show the game.
No game there.
No, it was supposed to be over at noon. The game was started at 2.
Yeah.
And people were lined up, and they're saying that, like, when we left at 12:30, they were telling people, like, you'll be in line for another hour to an hour and a half.
What?
Wow, boy.
No, yeah, not me.
So, like, the game on.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting that you just have them.
Yeah, wait for a couple hours. Could have gone to watch the flag football game out at Belton's game.
At the rugby field over there, too.
Boy, that's a long time to wait for 7-3, right? You know?
Man.
Because I think they were giving the Rider a season ticket holder gift today.
Okay.
Now, I'm also, I don't want to give any, you know, I don't know the full story.
Yeah.
I know they're asking you to pre-register for it. Mm. So I'm wondering if other people got into line thinking, oh, the Riders are doing a tour today, and they weren't actually season ticket holders or something. I don't know how that was going, but you're supposed to pre-register for that anyways, or they were asking you to. I don't think it was mandatory, but they were asking you to get in for this season ticket holder event.
Well, because I was just thinking, if it was asked to register, they should have had an idea, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, but then I'm thinking, if there's a lineup and people, what's going on? Oh, the Riders are going on, they're doing a tour today. Oh, right on. Are there hot dogs? Cool.
Out by the Brandt Center, too?
That's a bit of a line going there. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line open to you here on the Green Zone post-game show. What do you think of the Riders' opener? 15-9 loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I almost called it IG Field, at Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg. Give us a call now if you'd like. We still have a lot more to come. Of course, Beast and Beefs, Game Warriors, Play of the Game, and more on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Here on a Saturday afternoon, preseason game number one is done. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. 15-9 was the final score in favor of the home team. No touchdowns today, all field goals. The Riders lost by 2 field goals, and they missed 2 field goals today. Brett Lawther missed from 39 yards out. Doink off the upright. And Brian Garrity, he missed a 48 yarder that was
entertaining.
That's one of those plays where you feel bad for the kid, but you chuckle because it didn't go that high off the ground. I'm surprised nobody knocked it down at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He duck hooked that one. It looked like me off the 10th tee. Down at Avonlea, Long Creek, just got to keep it in the middle, slow and slow, and then woof, there it goes, straight left into the bush. That wasn't a good one from Garrity, but he did punch through an 18-yard field goal to make up for it on that play where you're like, why don't you just go for the touchdown when you're down deep in that territory. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Daryl, are you ready yet? Or
no, I'm looking at other games for a play of the game, Jamie. How about Amari Henderson getting a couple of interceptions?
Amari Henderson got an interception today.
Looks like for the Ottawa Red Blacks, a former Rough Rider. Oh, you guys try to pick a play of the game out of this one.
Okay, let's get to the play of the game.
No, not
yet. Maybe it made you. It might have made you.
Preseason for everyone. You,
come on!
It's time for the play of the game.
What you got there?
Nothing. I know this is my responsibility every single game for 12
Come on, Daryl, what do you got? Play you of the game.
Got to be something, Daryl.
Oh, can. Is that right?
Play of the game.
Well, the fact that we got our CFL Plus hooked up, apparently nobody else in the country did, it sounds like, according
we
to
We only missed,
media.
What, 5 minutes of the game? Yeah, it went down and then really, it got back up for us.
We got ours back up. Nobody else did. There's Ottawa fans complaining about not being able to get on to see their team play, so... So, Jamie, you get the play of the game for being able to hook up CFL Plus. Okay, at least we got to watch it on streaming. So, way to go, Jamie! Jamie's our first play of the game. It was about 5 minutes into the first quarter that eventually the game appeared.
Oh man! Yeah.
No, we had it from the hop.
Yeah, but we lost it.
We lost.
You had it perfectly synchronized too, Jamie.
Oh yeah,
that was
impressive, man.
Yeah, so it was great. Okay. Yeah,
play of the game. Me. Okay. That's new.
You get a point for
that. Is
okay?
New, man. For 13 years.
You pick a play. If that interception
51-yard return by Dre McCray.
Okay, you can have that if you want, JB. I'll be ready next game, but I've been looking at this play-by-play since we got in here and thinking
nothing. You can't find nothing there.
You're right. You guys have talked about Ray McCray and his return. Let's give it to him. That's it's the longest play of the game, right? 51 yards?
51 yards, longest play for the Saskatchewan Roughriders today, easily on that one. There were some great performances as well we can go through when it comes to the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
I have those listed, okay, but there's nothing that's outstanding there that you could say that turned the game around. Yeah. Or that was a huge play. Did you have any?
Even for the Bombers, there wasn't
nothing.
Really.
Do you have anything in your memory banks? If somebody wants to
it
call
it could
in,
have been Benoit Marion's strip sack fumble.
Okay, yes, that's a possibility.
But they didn't turn it into points, really.
Yeah, he's going to be the unsung hero, so is that okay?
Let's hold off. We still got a long way to go here.
Well, I've already
on the post-game
finding
show.
Finding game warriors, that's okay. There's been a couple people made a couple big plays, but if somebody wants to phone in with a play of the game, Jamie, I'm all for it, and we can turn it over to them, and Belton can sponsor it.
1-877-332-8255. Your thoughts on the post-game show and the Riders losing to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as we continue here on the Green Zone in this 15-9 slobber knocker of a football game. Were you disappointed in that? I forget which caller it was, and I apologize. Was the intensity that it was just like you thought you'd see a little bit more oomph with the Rough Riders, especially on Thursday. They were pushing and shoving each other and getting each other's face, and you're like, oh, they're going to come out and want to pound some people. And not really seeing it.
And like I said, I thought the only guy who did come out was Bertrand Houdon, right? Like, it just looked like he was at a different level, different pace, and, you know, even the D-line there, you know, was at some points they were just walking. When I see guys with the hands on the hips, they're tired fellas.
You worried about their conditioning?
I was, honestly, because, again, the way the Bombers, they were able to kind of gash and run and do things at will a little bit. But, you know, again, Cooley, what, 5 carries, 36 yards, 37 yards or something? I mean, and that's him. If that was who's the other back there?
That was Oliveira.
It was him,
played him the whole game.
I'm just saying, right? Like, they looked out of shape to me a little bit, especially.
And that was early in the game where they had hands on their hips. Like, that was in the second quarter, first quarter. Might have been the first quarter.
I think it was the first quarter there, right? And, you know, and I'm just thinking here, like, it's a nice day. I'm guessing it was about the same temperature. Everything over there had to be a little breeze. To me, this would have been a great day to play some football. You know, it wasn't too hot or anything.
Yeah, 19
right?
degrees in Winnipeg.
Right.
Not even that much of a breeze either.
Yeah, they looked a little out of shape to me.
So 2 weeks into camp, right?
Yep.
Would your conditioning still need work, or is this all you didn't do enough before training camp to get your conditioning up?
I would say before training camp, you didn't do enough.
Because it's up to the athlete to go, okay, you have to have your lungs
ready
to get going.
You know how big that field is out there, Jamie?
Yeah.
You better be ready.
Well, I was wondering about that.
Some of them aren't ready for that.
And like some of the, especially the newer guys,
yeah.
And
they don't know the pace either.
It's like,
the size
boy.
Of the field and the pace of the game, yes. Right? So
110, 65 yards, 20-second play clock. You're wait a second. This is a different animal that you don't really get in training camp,
and
right?
They don't work on it. They don't do the cross-field sprints like they used to all the
time. Well,
they
were on Thursday after the too many pushing and shoving, and they made sure they were doing that.
Well, they might have been a little too late. They probably should have done it a couple weeks ago, Jamie.
How much did you run before camp?
Lots.
Yeah?
Lots, Jamie. It was especially what I used to train down at Ole Miss, right? And it was – I ran from the back of the end zone to the back of the end zone just to replicate a CFL field, right? And even extended the sideline, ran a bit further, right? And it was running every day just to be ready. And what I saw there today, I'm not saying everybody. Again, I saw guys with bursts of speed. McCray, he looked like he was ready to go. Sales, you know, he looked like he was good to go, right? Like, but it was some guys along that front line. I saw hands on the hips, head up, trying to breathe a little bit, right?
Move, yeah.
I don't know if anybody saw what I saw, but I saw it.
It was there.
I feel like that about an hour into my racquetball game. So, yeah, I know that I feel.
Right?
Yeah. You just, gas a little
gassed
bit. But,
out.
But, you know, if we looked at them, that's probably the newer guys, right? Because
I think so. It was. It was.
They're used to that pace. Not the humidity. We don't have to worry about humidity here so much, but the pace of the game and the width of the field, just running onto the field is 15 yards farther, remember, right?
And don't let if an O-line senses a tired person,
that's who they go at. Yeah.
That's where you get your pancakes at, Jamie, and put some syrup on them suckers.
Yeah, so those offensive linemen are seeing those D-line with the hands on the hips going, yes. Yeah. Run the ball again.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes, yes. That would explain why they had at least Cooley.
Yep.
He looked pretty solid out there to me.
And Bertrand Houdon, too.
He looked good.
Yeah, a couple of guys.
He had some bursts, though.
Yeah. Yep.
1-877-332-8255. I want pancakes. Let's go to the fan line right now. Lawrence Saskatoon, what are you thinking after a game number or preseason game number one?
It was your typical preseason, but I'm a little worried about our punting game.
Okay, I'm going to...
I didn't think he was doing that great.
Well, I'm going to run through the numbers here, Lauren. Thanks for bringing up the punting game. Haven't got into that yet. Of course, in the offseason, last year's punter retired. So they brought in Flint, who used to play in Hamilton, and Joe Couch was already on the roster. He was around a little bit last year behind Adam Korzak, but they released Joe Couch and went with Flint, and he had 5 punts, 40-yard average, net 33-yard average. If you're looking at last year's numbers, they would be one of the worst punters in the Canadian Football League. On the flip side, the both kickers for Winnipeg were 44 and 53-yard average.
Wow.
The net for Sheehan was way down at 27.5, but I think he had a 15-yard no-yards penalty on that one and one of the returns from McCray on that one. So Flint needs to be better. He got one boomer away. His longest was 51 where he went, okay, there's the leg for the punter, but this can't be downplayed. This is an important aspect of the CFL. Mm-hmm. When you are punting the ball anywhere from 5 to 10 times a game, if you're giving up 10 yards, was it 10?
That's half a field.
He was giving up about 10 yards per average for net for against the other punter. You're giving that up 5 times. That's half the football field that you're giving up. That adds up. It's important that they find a guy who can punt. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Flint can do it. Like, he boomed one at 51, but can he do it consistently?
Yeah. They missed Korzak already, right? He wasn't the best punter in the league, but he was good directionally, very seldom blocked. That was really one of his...
He could put it back there, though,
yes,
man.
Yes, he could, yeah. He put it where they wanted him to put it. So that's a huge loss for them. The new rules, all you have to do is just go to open a punting camp in Australia and see if you can find somebody.
Well, those Aussie rule football guys, they can.
Yeah, but some of them don't even play Aussie rule. Does Flint even play Aussie rules football? I think he's one of the guys who didn't, right? So,
well, there's actually a pro kicking camp, like program in Australia, for punters and kickers. When it comes, and a lot of them, and it's not, this is only a CFL thing, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's starting to see in college football a lot of international kickers coming through as well in punting, and in the, even in the NFL. Right?
They've played soccer, they have played Aussie rules, so you know, they've played rugby, so a lot of them have kicked the football, or at least kicked the ball. Yeah. So that's why, you know, and with the rules in the CFL where you have to have one global player on your roster. The best spot, the most likely spot, it seems like, is punter. So that's where the Rough Riders looked at it. But it is a worrisome place. 40 yards isn't CFL worthy at the moment.
No, 40 yard average with a 33 net. That's below average. As we continue here on the Green Zone post game show, a lot more time for your calls on anything Green and White or anything Canadian Football League. If you want to give us a ring and have a general conversation as well before the season, maybe you want to challenge Belton on his Grey Cup prediction. I also think this team is going to go to the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. I think they're going to be right back at that field in November, to be quite honest, in the Grey Cup final. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. More to come. Belton Johnson's Beast and Beefs, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes. And, of course, you on the fan line on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you as the Riders lose to the Bombers 15-9. In preseason football at Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg.
All right, PAS.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, PAS in Winnipeg, yeah.
Okay, good. Some of the other games going on today, the Ottawa Redblacks got a 23-7 win over the Montreal Alouettes, former Rough Rider defensive back, the man we won't miss after his performance in the West Final. Amari Henderson got an interception today.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa scored a touchdown or two.
Just one?
I thought he had two. I haven't looked it up. I saw one on social media that Amari Henderson had one, but we can check that one.
So interesting. Right?
But Ottawa scoring touchdowns, so unlike Winnipeg and Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Oh, Jamie's looking it up. Amari, A-M-A.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember him. I remember
the West final.
No, just one interception. That's the only stat he had. No tackles, no knockdowns, and a quarterback threw him the ball right to him. 23-7 was Ottawa's win over Montreal. You also had Hamilton there on right now, actually. They are up 3 there. Hamilton's up 3-0 on the Toronto Argonauts.
Hopefully CFL.ca is working for the fans.
Well, that one's on TSN.
Oh, right.
Okay. That one's on TSN today. So. That is also something to keep your eye on. Something else we're keeping our eye on today was the Saskatchewan Rush. They were in the final against the Buffalo Bandits. It was 7-6 at halftime, and then the Bandits just pulled away. 15-6 was the final. So the Buffalo Bandits win their third straight. But, hey, this was a big move from the Rush missing the playoffs the last couple of years. To being able to get to the final and get to game three in a best of three series against a very good Buffalo team. But it's the Buffalo Bandits once again for the third straight year winning the National Lacrosse League Championship. Of course, hockey is about to begin game three today. The Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, Florida leads that series 2-0 with that game in Florida tonight. And the Oilers tomorrow. Remember, it's a matinee, guys, tomorrow. It's a matinee tomorrow for the Oilers. Don't think at night. You're like, 6 o'clock, game time. No.
You missed it then. Hey,
Wait a second. The game's over already? They're already playing the NHL in 30? What's going on? 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for the Oilers. 1-877-332-8255. That's a look at what else is going on in the world of sports outside of the Riders preseason game. Caden earlier brought up the Drake curse. We need to explain what happened today. An added wrinkle to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders season is when Drake on his Instagram account had a series of photos, different clothing, jewelry, etc., and he showed a video of a charm bracelet, probably a very expensive charm bracelet, the way Drake rolls. It had a old Starter logo with diamonds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It had a Superman logo
yeah.
with diamonds. It had an old Nokia phone with diamonds and stuff. And then it just swings back to the left, and there it is, a Saskatchewan Rough Rider diamond pendant on this charm necklace or bracelet on Drake's official Instagram account. Now, if you know anything about Drake, there is something known as the Drake curse. Any team he touches seems to go rotten. He bet $1 million on the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. Rotten. I think his Super Bowl bets, he's 1 of 9 in his monster Super Bowl bets. So I don't think it's good that Drake is on the Rough Rider bandwagon. This is not a good day for Rider Nation. So if anybody brings up the Drake curse this weekend on the Riders, now you know what we're talking
about. Belton, you like Drake?
I do.
There you go.
Over Kendrick Lamar?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No. Kendrick Lamar all day, man.
I'm like, which side are you on?
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Belton picked the Riders, too, him and Drake. So
put it all over the drink, eh?
Yeah.
No, there's no. I don't. We haven't experienced the Belton curse yet on the Green Zone.
So. That might be right, though. We don't know. They got to play better than they did today, but that's okay.
Preseason. As we look at this football team from a wider perspective than just today, when we look at the Saskatchewan Roughriders as a whole, Belton, why is it you believe this team is going to be in the Grey Cup?
Well, I'll start with the coaching staff, right? Just all those guys last year, they're all together here still. Trevor Harris, he's a pillar in the CFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think Olette, they're going to be good there. O-line, they're going to be good, I think, right? And defensively, they get a guy like Campbell. Still got Sales, who was an all-star. How many all-star players were from last year?
9.
And they're all back?
Yes, every one of them.
That sounds good to me. Like, I don't know. I just see them head above shoulders. And when you compare them to the rest of the, let's say, the West, right? And who's the team that's probably the furthest ahead? And, in the quarterback room, coaching staff wise, it's the Riders. It's not even close in my book.
No, everything's changed. When you look across the West Division, and I'm with Belton. I don't know where Daryl is yet. He hasn't made it.
I told you guys that I think the Rough Riders are the best team in the West. They still have to pass the team they played today. They're the indicator. They're the flag
that's
bearer,
the
right?
Measuring stick.
This is
You're
the
right.
team that's won it the last five, won the West the last 5 years. The 2-time Grey Cup and then 3 Grey Cup losses, but they've also been the team to eliminate the Saskatchewan Roughriders in each of Saskatchewan's last 4 playoff appearances.
So you look at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, though. New offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. That's a big change.
Yeah.
Kenny Lawler is gone. He's out. On defense, Brandon Alexander is no longer playing football. Terrell Ford leaves. Mm-hmm. Adam Big Hill they move off of.
Yep.
Then that's added to the guys who had already left the organization the year before. There are new younger players coming up through Winnipeg, but it's different. Edmonton is a completely new team. Like, it's unrecognizable to the team that ended last season in Edmonton, both coaching staff, general manager, and roster. BC, of course, has a new head coach with Buck Pierce after they moved off of Rick Campbell. And a little bit of new, like Nathan Rourke back in the CFL. He came midway last year. And Calgary, they kind of blew up their roster a lot. That defense, those are 2 guys back from that defense last year. And they changed their quarterback with Vernon Adams Jr.
Mm-hmm.
The Riders, you look at it compared to everybody else,
they're stable.
They're the most stable,
absolutely.
Yeah. But until you've been knocked off the mountain, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are still the king of the hill for the West, for sure. So, yes, they have changed, and I agree with you completely, Jamie. They've lost starters. Saskatchewan, the players they lost basically weren't starters. Winnipeg has lost starters, but they've still got basically the same coaching staff. It's still the same philosophy under Mike O'Shea. They've got Zach Collaros coming back, a proven all-star quarterback, Brady Oliveira. They've got a lot of the key pieces are still there. More changes than other teams. Yeah. But until you've been defeated, you're the champion.
Coming up next, we'll see if Darren wants to make another tomahawk steak bet next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you. We have Darren on the line. Last year, Darren came in hot at the start of the season. 13 wins, he proclaimed the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He even put tomahawk steaks on the line with the panel because none of us here believe they could get to 13 wins. And think you were four short, Darren?
Yeah. What a great day for a game it was. 24 degrees out, the sun was shining, it was hot. It's awesome. And you know what? The best thing I got out of this whole game is we got the best quarterbacks in the league. And I haven't felt this good since we had Collaros as our starter and Fajardo as our backup. So I love
it. So you were in the stadium. You liked what you saw from the QBs today.
Yeah, that punter, though, and that other kicker that kicked a line drive like that. I've never even seen a kick like that in my life.
Well, I have. They're usually at events where they allow media to do punt, pass, and kick competitions. But I've definitely seen it.
Something like that's drunk. So, like that, or I mean, that kick, that field goal. But hey, you know, it was his first attempt. It was a 47-yarder. He just gave it a little bit too much gusto. That's all that was.
Oh yeah, he tried to. So, Darren, are you going to wait for week one of the regular season, or what? Do you have any bold predictions to kick off the season here on the Green Zone game days?
I told you already 2 weeks ago 13, but you said you were going to pick 13 too, so who am I going to bet against?
Well, I'm trying to get you to 15.
Ooh. Nope. I said 13 or more. That's what I said. 13 or more. I won't go up to 15.
Not going to go to 15. All right. Okay. But you were in the stadium. Next time you're in Winnipeg, hey, can you tell the production staff to zoom out on the plays, please? Just zoom out because it was a little difficult on CFL Plus today. They were missing catches and throws and everything else.
Yeah, our replays were crap too, so we didn't get to see the replays at all. Like everything was dark, so we had a hard time too.
All righty. Well, Darren,
on the fifth, you guys have to have empty stomachs because we're going to be cooking those tomahawks up, which are going to be like 3 pounds each. So you can't eat nothing during the daytime. I'll get back to you because Jamie says we got to do it that day.
All right,
that's Thursday.
It's in my calendar now.
That'll be the Thursday game, the opener. There's Darren in Rosh Percy coming back. He knows a lot of Bomber fans in his family, so he's one of the lone green ones lingering
he's
around.
Steaks. What do you think, Belton? Some beans? Maybe. What else you want?
That'll be a heck of a post game show. Open the door.
Oh no, there, we need macaroni and cheese.
Some turnip. Did you eat 3 pounds? I can't eat 3 pounds of meat,
Jamie.
Maybe over a week.
You can do it, Jamie.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it.
Share with Britain.
You can do it.
I'll be like looking at those D linemen in the first quarter, hands on the hips, looking at the sky. Taking some deep breaths, trying to muscle through.
I can make it.
I can do it. 1-877-332-8255. So there you go. Darren was there. He said, "Hey, the quarterbacks."
They were mediocre. They're nothing special. But what do you have to do in the preseason, right?
So was it Jack Cohn, Dre McCray?
Yeah,
drop pass.
That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
And he had a throwaway. He might have been perfect today if it wasn't for some of those throws. Drop pass would have been a decent play, too, from Jack Cohn.
Yeah. And he threw it away when he had to. He was pressured that one time. So, yeah.
A smart play.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's learned, right? We talk about how long it takes these American quarterbacks to learn. And should he stay here if he's a fourth stringer? Does he stay on the practice roster? he's getting better. It takes a while for them to adapt. Very rarely does a rookie quarterback step in. Last year, he got very limited playing time, obviously. This year is another step forward, and he's showing it. But I don't see the way they've constructed this quarterback room. I don't see him getting on the roster unless there's an injury. But that's maybe – how patient is he? Is he going to be around? Is there other teams who might need him as a second or third stringer? Right now, his best bet is to stay here and just learn and see. Maybe Trevor Harris has got a year left, maybe two, and eventually Jack Cohn could keep learning. Mark Mueller seems to be doing okay with quarterbacks. He's instructed a few who have come on, so maybe it's the right spot for Jack Cohn, but he has to make that decision himself.
Coming up next, we've waited long enough, Belton. I hope you have your list ready.
I'm ready, man.
It's Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs coming up here on the Green Zone post-game show. Of course, the fan line is open at 1-877-332-8255 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.